Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. She's also a website designer, and we're engaged in a series of three conversations about using the Alexander Technique constructive rest position as a lab or laboratory for exploring Alexander Technique directing or directions. That was our first interview, which we've done. This interview is going to be using constructive rest as a lab for exploring the up with gravity process, and we'll talk about that in more detail. And then we're going to do a final interview on using constructive rest position as a platform for moving, so it ceases being a pure position, but there's some movements that you can start exploring. So Imogen, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
And
good to have you back.
We don't really need to describe constructive rest, maybe other than it's a lying down position where you're on a firm surface, your knees are elevated, there's a little support under your head. We described it in a little more detail in the first interview, and we're going to put a link to a site that has a lot of detail on it. So
yeah,
we're going to
pick a picture or two as
pick
well.
A lot of pictures and videos and about 6 or 7 podcasts on the topic of constructive rest. So there's a lot of information on that. We're going to assume for this podcast that you already know how to put yourself in the basic constructive rest position. And I guess we should say that nothing that we're going to talk about requires necessarily that you be an Alexander Technique student or have any previous training. These are all self-help tools. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk in this podcast about how one can use the up with gravity process while lying down. Do you want to describe the up with gravity process, Imogen?
Sure. It seems like it's inventor might do a better job.
But no, I'm trusting the first
so the
serious
up with
student.
Gravity process, as I understand it, starts with really identifying where your center of gravity is in yourself, typically in a more or less kind of upright position. And using the knowledge of where that is to help you move and function.
Right, exactly. that's using, and we're going to put a link to a site that has a lot of information about that. So the listener would want to look into that. Spend a little time there. Some of the things we're talking about right now might seem slightly strange if you haven't looked into it. But as you say, it's identifying initially, say in standing or sitting, mm-hmm. where gravity actually operates on you. That is, gravitational force. What it sees when it sees you is an infinitesimal spot about 2 inches below your navel, pretty much in the middle of you. There's nothing there there's no joint there or anything that makes it easy to map. So typically, I found that it's very useful to use some simple imagery to access the location mm-hmm. of your center of gravity. And most of the work that's been done on center of gravity has involved sitting, standing, moving, that sort of thing. But it turns out that the constructive rest position is a wonderful place to explore the effects of that. Do you want me to start with that, or do you want to describe how you've used that?
Sure. Why don't I just, I can maybe start out.
Okay.
So even though when you're lying down, your legs, your knees are elevated, I think it's still useful to think of this place that would be your center of gravity if you were standing. Is that, we're going
Yes.
to that same place, right,
Yes.
Robert?
Technically, I mean, when you
I mean,
bend
it
your
must have
knees,
changed a little bit, but for our intents
absolutely.
and
When you
purposes, we're
bend
kind of
your
going to more or less that same.
right, when you bend your knees, you are altering the position of your center of gravity a bit, but I think for all practical purposes, you can still use that roughly 2 inches or three finger widths below your navel. I think that below your navel part is absolutely crucial
Yes, I
in all of
agree.
this.
So, I mean, just starting out, just sort of identifying that place in yourself as you're lying down. And it's, I think most of us, when we do constructive rest, rest our hands on our body. And so just let your hands rest in that kind of couple of inches down from your navel place. And you kind of can get a sense of that place going right through.
It's actually very easy to locate when you're lying down. You could put a fingertip a couple of inches below your navel, or you could just place the palm of one or both of your hands over that spot, having roughly the center of your hand be a couple of inches below your navel. So you have a it makes it very easy to identify the location. Bear in mind that it's halfway between the surface of your hand and the surface you're lying on, and it's exactly, of course, in the middle side to side as well. That's where your center of gravity
Yeah.
is
And I
located.
said the first thing would just be noticing if just kind of tuning into where that place is can start to shift things subtly.
Absolutely. It can certainly do that when you're standing, and it
And I
can.
think maybe when you're lying down, especially if
Yes.
you've not really thought about it before.
Exactly. Very few people, in my experience, have ever thought about their center of gravity in quite this way. There are some fields where it is understood to be important. Certainly the martial arts, horseback riding, and gymnastics, I think, are the three main, or swimming to a certain extent. So you can start by just locating it, and then you can start experimenting with moving it. And where I would suggest moving it is initially towards your head. In other words, it's kind of lifting it, but of course, lifting is not really the right word when you're lying down. So it's moving it a little bit towards your head. And that means you're going to do a little work. You're going to notice a little firming, probably, of your abdominal muscles. But start with a little bit and see what you notice about things like your breathing, what's going on in your chest and neck.
Yeah, and I think very be very clear with yourself that you're just sort of lifting it from that place. You're not trying to hike it up from anything,
I would
by
even,
using your neck or your shoulders or
right, I would even rephrase that to you're lifting that place, so to speak, not you're actually lifting your center. And that's, you have to inhibit a little bit to do that. You have to be very clear that you're
What,
not
yeah.
lifting other parts of you. Now, other parts of you will move when you do
Yeah.
that.
And what I've noticed is when I initially have done that, which has been quite interesting doing it in the lying down, is one, there's a nice shift which seems positive, sort of in like my hips opening up and my pelvis seems to have changed a little bit in position. But I do notice my I guess habitual tendency to do something with my shoulders, and that being on the table or the floor gives me the feedback to know, oh, I've actually lifted them a little bit off, I've done something I didn't want, basically. So that's kind of the really the usefulness, part of the usefulness
right.
of so experiment in this position. And then that gives me the opportunity, going back to our negative direction discussion earlier, to kind of say no to that, or you know, that I don't need my shoulders to lift my center of gravity.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
to you,
absolutely. Robert? And just to be clear again, because I think this is worth repeating a few times, what you're lifting, and of course the word lift I'm putting in quotes here because it's a 90 degree angle from normal lifting, is just your center of gravity. Now, other
parts of you... I
guess what I was
talking about was that even though that was what I was intended to do, there was a subconscious habit, you know, quite subtle, but because of the surface, I was able to notice
right.
it much easier, actually, than upright.
Exactly. And
so you can kind of know, am I doing too much? I think the other thing to notice is, has my breathing improved or not? And if it's improved, I'd be pretty certain that you're doing what you should be doing. But if you feel like it's got tighter or restricted, or you're holding your breath, then you've added something that you don't need.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're lifting your center of gravity in the way we described, and you can start with very small lifts, very
Absolutely.
Tiny lifts.
That's probably the best.
And probably that is the best. There will be movements that you will notice, quite possibly in your shoulders. I mean, there will be some little shifts that will go on. And it's kind of takes a bit of practice to distinguish you lifting your shoulder or doing something with it, as opposed to I'm lifting my center of gravity and, oh, look at that, my shoulder shifted a little bit on its own. That's kind of the distinction that's important.
So I'm not saying that the shoulder shouldn't move. I'm saying that I had noticed a tendency to add
right.
a little more than necessary.
Right. So that lifting, you can experiment with beginning with a little bit. And once you become familiar with that, you could start increasing it. And unless you have some injury or I suppose if you've had an operation on your back, you might want to be a little careful in how much you lifted initially. But you can certainly lift it a bit and notice the effects of that. And then it's really interesting, after you've noticed the effects, to let go of that lift. Mm-hmm. And typically you'll catch yourself sinking kind of down into your habitual pattern. Your breathing will not be quite as free. And you can go back and forth, you know, and that. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of experiments you can do. And we'll put a link to the page about Up With Gravity that explores a lot of this in standing and sitting. But everything that is there applies in its own way to using it when you're lying down. And the other thing about constructive rest as a really interesting lab to explore this in is the combining of lifting and using a negative direction.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
To me, what makes it.
Yeah, there's where the real power comes in. Do you want to talk about that a little bit from your experience?
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of going on from what I was saying before about me noticing that I'd done a little bit of something extra with my shoulders, even though I was noticing some nice effects in other places, neck and shoulders are my trigger area. but when I added a negative direction to the lift, such as I'm not compressing, then they just released, but the lift sort of remained. And
I think there are a couple of ways to go about this. You want me to describe the two that at least that I've played around with? You could start by just lifting your center of gravity a little bit, and of course you'll notice some probably notice some firming in your abdominal area. You may notice some other shifts in your shoulders or your breathing, all the things that we've just talked about. Then, having lifted your center for maybe two or three seconds, enough time to notice those effects, you could then overlap that lifting with the kind of negative direction that we talked about in the previous podcast, which a nice one would be, I'm not compressing myself. And then sort of softly let go of the lifting part.
Yes, yes.
And there you are. There may be a little shift when you let go of the lifting, but if you're clear, gently clear, that you're not compressing yourself, it's not going to be possible for you to go back to your old slightly compressed state. It cannot happen.
It's a very nice little sequence.
Right. Yes. I think that's the way to start, maybe. Mm-hmm. But a slightly more advanced process would be to start with, I'm not compressing myself. Mm-hmm. And then add, you could say, I'm not compressing myself as I lift my center a little bit.
That a lot.
And then when you let go
that
of
that, for me means I'm basically inhibiting those things that I didn't want to happen as I lift.
You kind of short circuit the problems that way.
Yeah.
And then of course having. Not compressing myself, I'm lifting my center, and then I could stop lifting my center, and there may again be a little shift at that point, but it's not going to be a very big one. And you can even experiment with doing a little lifting that way. I'm not compressing myself as I'm lifting, let go of the lifting, hang out there for a little bit, and then do a little more lifting in the non-compressing mode, so to speak, and mm-hmm. you can kind of ratchet it up.
Exactly. And I've noticed now that I'm sort of familiar with the process and I understand, you know, my body and my mind understand what these things mean. I can think also something like, I'm not pulling down my center.
Yes.
I immediately get a nice change going on.
There's another version of a negative direction mm-hmm. applied to your center of gravity.
And yes, so it was a negative direction that we created specifically about the center of gravity.
About the center of gravity. And that's something that's really useful when mm-hmm. you're standing or sitting, and it works beautifully when you're lying down as well. And I would say that the constructive rest position is a fantastic place to play with these things, but they work really well when you're lying in bed. You can do all that stuff lying in bed as well. And
well, really, any of these things, it's very nice to do it in the constructive rest position because you got such good feedback
mm-hmm.
from, but the beauty of these specific directions is that you could be in any position anywhere.
Yeah, they carry over beautifully to any activity. So that's kind of combining up with gravity with negative directions. And I'd like to kind of end by discussing, I think we're going to do a final podcast. This is our second in a series of interviews. The third one, we're going to talk about movements, that is, moving your arms or legs or head or speaking, that sort of thing when you're lying down in constructive rest. But the question always with constructive rest is, how do you continue the benefits of your 10 or 15 minutes or whatever it is in constructive rest as you kind of re-enter the real world? That is, get up from the floor or get off the table and start walking or getting into your car or whatever it is you're going to be doing next. And I think this combination of the up with gravity and negative directions is an exceedingly powerful way to do that. So, for example, when you know it's about time to get up, you could say to yourself, I'm not compressing myself as I lift my center of gravity, and whatever, that kind of process, and then let go of the lifting and just say, I'm not compressing myself, and take that I'm not compressing myself intent into as you get up. Just that's the background intention when you stand up or sit up on a table.
Yeah.
And it really, if you try this, if you have to experiment with it a little bit. It's not going to come instantly, but if you play around with that, you're going to be astonished at what happens. And you can use that for getting out of the bed in the morning.
Wake up
in the morning instead.
And I think it's useful. This could really go on any of our discussions, but it's useful, I think, after you've got up from constructive rest, just to maybe pause for just a few seconds in standing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be an ideal place to just then bring back any of these directions or thoughts.
Absolutely, because your body will be primed for it.
Before you move into whatever your next activity is.
Yeah, because having spent that time lying down, chances are your spine's lengthened a little bit. Your body is absolutely primed for a sort of a secondary dose of negative directions and up with gravity. It's like an ideal time to just remind yourself of that. And then take that right into walking or whatever the next activity you want
to
do.
Exactly, I think.
Or if you're a singer, right into singing.
Time, and I suggest you build in time, is just to kind of pause in standing for a few seconds and just take that into a little walking when you're just directing and conscious. So you're not just immediately jumping up from lying down to your next phone call or whatever that next task is that you have to do, that you're integrating
all the stuff into yourself in a different position that you can then easily take into walking or whatever. And I would say with a little practice, it doesn't even have to be 2 or 3 seconds. It can almost literally be a split second. Once you start exploring these ideas, It's kind of like your body is primed to hear that intent from you,
and it knows.
If I'm sitting here right now talking to you, and I think, oh, I'm gonna lift my center, which is a little different center because I'm sitting, but I'm lifting it, and then I'm not compressing myself. It just happens so quickly and easily. It's not a big deal.
It takes
a little practice, but I'd like to emphasize that everything we've talked about is accessible to anyone who wants to explore it, and we'll have links that'll give you more detailed information on constructive rest, on negative directions, and on up with gravity. So anything else you want to say about this before we move on to our next topic?
I think we've covered it.
All right. Well, my guest has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and a website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. Thanks again, Imogen.
Thank you.